This MIT survey on 70% of enterprise AI projects never reach production. So really, there's this big promise and pilots seem to work in the enterprise. But as soon as you're trying to get to production scale, everything sort of breaks. And it seems like that solution is in AI plus services. And then that is leading to everyone's GTM or go-to-market being these FTEs.
I think we are in the vision selling era. It's about, you know, getting a customer to that great outcome that you committed. And the way that is happening is not through traditional PS, but through FDE. What Palantir did was they hired these very smart Stanford grads who were engineers who could behave as consultants as well. The way this worked was, let's build the product with the customer in a way. You know, at least 75-80% of it needs to be brought back into the product itself.
India has always played a role in cloud, the global GCCs and mobile. India has been a big part of that AI adoption playbook. Now, if FTEs are central to that adoption plus product build, can it actually be the FTE talent engine or the FTE engine room? Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Zero to Infinity podcast by Z47. I'm Vikram Vaidyanathan. I'm a partner at Z47, and I'm very excited to welcome a very old friend of mine, Sri Krishnan Ganesan, Sri, founder of Rocket Lane. It's a company that I'm privileged to have invested in, but Sri and I also went to B-School more than 20 years ago. So this is a relationship that really has spanned two decades. So I'm super excited about this. Welcome, Sri.
Thanks, Vikram. Happy to chat today on this show.
So we're talking about this rise of the forward deployed engineer or the FTE, and really try to chart this era from when it started with Palantir to now, the AI era, and what the India edge could potentially look like with the FTEs. So excited to unpack that. And just for context, Sri, maybe you just want to cover what Rocket Lane does and what you're doing in the FTE community, and then maybe I can set up the questions.
Sure. Rocket Lane is purpose-built software for teams that run professional services projects or FDE teams, implementation teams across tech, SaaS, and the whole partner ecosystem as well, right? And a very all-in-one software for these professional services and FDE teams to do their work, to track their work, to manage their work, communicate their work, all of it, all in one. So we work very closely with all kinds of teams. We, 13 of the Forbes Cloud 100 use our software to deploy their products to their customers. And of course, I think we are very community first, community led as a company. So we run four different communities, the latest of which is a community that we built for forward deployed engineers. It's called the Frontline Forum.
And for those who are looking Sri up on LinkedIn, Sri and his co-founders, Vignesh and Deepak, this is their, they're all serial entrepreneurs. This is their second company together. They sold their first company to Freshworks. And Sri's been looking at multiple startups for a long period of time. This one's really off to a very fast start. So I encourage everyone to go check out Rocket Lane as well as their background. And Sri is almost a permanent fixture in the overall India SaaS ecosystem. And now he lives in the Bay Area. So FTEs, the context of this entire conversation, there's obviously this MIT survey on 70% of enterprise AI projects never reach production. McKinsey saying that enterprise AI is, contributing less than 10% of the overall AI revenue. Everything's just consumer app. So really, there's this big promise and pilots seem to work in the enterprise. But as soon as you're trying to get to production scale, everything sort of breaks. And then everyone's sort of scrambling saying, okay, what is the solution? And it seems like that solution is in AI plus services. And some people call that services or the software. And then that is leading to everyone's GTM or go-to-market being these FTEs. So origin of FTEs, and if they were, I was going back in history, and maybe you can help us unpack this. On Palantir, called them FDSEs, forward deployed software engineers, and then Wrap suddenly started using that more in enterprise SaaS. So maybe just chart out that journey, what you've seen, and then we can dig into what the FTE community is doing now.
Yeah, I think I first heard of this term forward deployed engineers, and I was like, not sure what it was. This is back in 2021, when I was meeting the 8VC team, as you know. They're also part of the cap table for us, backed us from Series A onwards. So we went back and tried to learn a little more about what this was all about, understood that Palantir followed this model where they would send their their team to the customer site to collaborate and work together on identifying and solving the right problems for the customer in certain areas, right? So it's almost like roughly I think the challenge for them was whenever you're doing something that's more data oriented, the data is always in different places in the enterprise. It's hard to get the right access. Things get delayed when you try to do this remote and have your weekly calls with the customer, etc. Instead, if you're on site with the customer, getting around to faster access to the right data, getting the right explanation for what is what. And of course, I think also getting access to the right people quickly enough helps someone build solutions faster, as well as identify what is the high ROI problems to solve for the customer when you're with them. Obviously, you're able to track towards it better. And what Palantir did was they hired these very smart Stanford grads who were engineers, but they were also people who you could put in front of the customer, who you could, who could behave as consultants as well, to go figure out and solve the right problems. From what I've learned, the way this worked was, hey, there is more product to be built to solve specific problems for customers. So let's not sit in a silo and build product. Let's build the product with the customer in a way. And where your team knows, I want to solve problems in this domain. I want to build more product in these areas. And there is a prospect who has problems in those areas. There is a good match. Then you send your forward deployed engineer to the customer's location to build out those capabilities. You do that for a few more in that industry. Now you have a pattern of what you want to productize, really. And so what you're building for the customer as an FDE needs to, at least 75, 80% of it needs to be brought back into the product itself. It's not like a pure play PS, building custom apps and solutions at the edge of your product. It's actually extending the product. And that's why FDSE, it is finally a product software engineer who's building this. That made sense. If I can go on.
From my perspective, let me tell you how I understood it. And after IIM Bangalore, and I went to McKinsey, and I look at this as if this role existed, then I would have loved to do this role, because it is essentially it's sort of like how McKinsey would land me into a client side. This would land you at a customer, and you would be given a problem statement, which is to how do I maximize the efficiency of X using the complex data platform that Palantir had. And then my role would be to solve that problem using the tools that Palantir provided, but also other things, right? Goes to solve the problem. If it meant doing integrations with something else, it means going and figuring out those integrations. If it meant figuring out what the software, the SI needs to do, or the system integrators need to do, then it's that. So it was essentially to manage the project to an outcome. While, like you said, saying there is some generalized work that I'm doing, there's some custom work, maybe that custom work is 20%, but the generalized work then goes back into building sort of the main product. So it seemed like a really beautifully architected role. And frankly, for me, out of B school, being a tech guy, it would have been sort of the perfect thing. I dare say you would have wanted to do this as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think, yeah, the important thing is the platform itself is getting additional capabilities. You're evolving the platform as well to serve that customer. It's not just, yeah, I use the platform, but it's also I contributed back to the platform, new tool sets, new, capability sets to the platform to solve that customer problem. So, and I think the reason why Ramp and you're seeing this, I think there are 100 YC companies that are hiring FDEs now. Salesforce has FDEs, ServiceNow has FDEs. It's like everywhere.
So pause a little bit. So really worked well for Palantir. Complex platform, the messy workflows, they landed this large enterprise revenue. It worked for them. And it seemed like, nobody else really picked it up till Ramp really picked it up. And they said, hey, we have to move enterprise. And in order to move enterprise and capture larger part of all the financial workflows that our customer has, FDEs is great. So I don't know if I know you met a bunch of people in the from the Ramp community and so on. What led to those decisions? And then can you draw a straight line from that to every YC startup hiring FDEs?
I think the connection to all of this is in a way when you're doing large vision selling, high ROI promises in the enterprise world, a lot of things need to come together for you to get to that outcome. And you cannot build a one size fits all product sitting in a silo to solve that. You need to get plugged in a lot more in the customer's world to bring these enterprise solutions to life. And there is this sort of virtuous cycle here, right? You promised a very high ROI outcome. Hence, the value of that outcome is also huge. So people are willing to pay more. Hence, it's okay to, put this forward deployed engineer in that customer environment to solve the problem. So it sort of plays into each other. And hence, this person can go there and actually focus on spending their time and energy to solve the problem. And this is the common theme across all the, AI companies now emerging that have the FDE motion, that there is a vision selling that's happened. And I think we are in the vision selling era in a way. And very much for Ramp, when they say, hey, we're going to automate all accounting as well, that is vision selling. And in the vision selling era, it's not about launching your product for the customer. It's not about just implementing a solution. It's about, getting a customer to that great outcome that you committed. And we've all seen how getting to a POC with AI is super easy, but getting from that 60%, 70% done to 100% done is super hard. And that's where I think PS, if sales moved into vision selling, PS needs to move into creating ROI for the customer. And the way that is happening is not through traditional PS, but through FDE.
And for the uninitiated, PS is professional services, and a bunch of SaaS companies have these PS teams that help, essentially implement the software once it goes into big scale production. So is FDE like a silver bullet for all AI landing? Because it seems like people are essentially don't have real adoption of their company's product or the agent, and they're just sort of FDE has become a push product versus becoming a pull product. So are you seeing that? And what kind of companies should really be investing behind FDEs, and what companies shouldn't?
I think all of us in the AI world are still building our product in a way. And that's why this has become even more important that, you are building alongside the customer. There are more things to be built to get to great outcomes with them. And that's where this becomes a great fit, right? Because you are actually getting your product engineers, even PMs. I see, forward deployed product manager roles as well in some companies where it's important to have that product mindset, but still, flavor it with what the customer really needs by being on site with them, by truly understanding the problems. So I think this is, I don't know if it's a silver bullet for every kind of company, but I feel if you're solving for enterprise, for your largest customer, even OpenAI, for their large customers, like the 10 million plus ARR customers, has a consulting team, FDE team that goes in and does the work with them. Likewise, I know Rippling has launched a FDE team. Anyone who's selling into their largest enterprise customers and is, you know, looking to create great outcomes for them, I think is following this approach, and it feels like it's working, right? We'll see what fails, what works later. We'll know in a couple of years maybe, but right now it feels like it is sort of a silver bullet for enterprise deployments.
But I would say you're saying something different. You're saying it's not actually a GTM approach. And I hear a lot of pitches where they, when I ask the question and tell me about how you're approaching GTM, and then they immediately say FDE. You're saying it's actually an approach to building your company. It's not actually an approach to GTM, because it is affecting how you do, how you structure your engineering team. It's structuring how you actually think about product building. It's affecting how you think about CS and so on, right? So, you know, what would be your advice to founders who are building in this motion? You have two or three people, and you know, the traditional org, you would say, okay, you know, what? How do I think about CS? How do I think about GTM? How do I think about product marketing? Right? All of that is essentially, you know, getting thrown out the window, and you have a very different FD-centric org. So have you seen some interesting organization choices that people can learn from?
I think the key, when someone says GTM motion is with FD, I think one is, yes, definitely. I think you're bringing the FD in very often, even before a contract closes with the customer, so that you are validating that, hey, this is the right kind of fit for what you want to build, which areas you want to build, and there are big enough problems, sizable problems to be solved, so that the ROI is there of this engagement. And I don't think this should impact, for example, product marketing, but definitely should impact how your product is being built. So there is the core platform, there is additional capabilities that you would build. And I think both of it will get touched by these FDEs. So unlike a typical service professional services team, which is sort of at the mercy of what product has built already to, you know, just create things at the periphery of what product has to offer, over here, it becomes more of a, hey, this FDE can touch the core of the product, can contribute back to also
make it real, right? So you're saying the usually professional services teams would be created after you have some version of the product, and they don't really report to the CTO most of the time, but they essentially are all. So where did the professional services all lie, and now these FDEs are essentially in the engineering org in some sense, right? So what is, and then how do you decide how much of the FDE's code goes into the core product?
Yeah. So the way this would work is, in a typical professional services team, you have a product that your product engineering team has built. You're configuring it for the customer. You're setting up things for them. You're integrating something at the periphery, etc. If you need new capabilities from the product team to solve a customer problem, you may put in a feature request, and you don't know when that will get built, right? Like, you're not going to promise a timeline for it typically. Sometimes it may happen. But you're at the mercy of the product team. You don't have the ability to touch the code base of the product. And you're not seen as the product person. You're seen as your skill set is more in configuring, implementing a solution, thinking through how to solve a problem for the customer using what tools you already have at your disposal, right? Versus building new things. And that's the typical PS function. Versus over here, you go in, you're seen as a product engineer in a way, right? With some amount of product thinking, you're also a mini product manager in a way, because you are architecting, figuring out what problem to solve, and extending the product itself or adding new product capabilities, because it needs you to have those capabilities to solve a big customer problem. So you're going in, figuring out what is needed. If you know, things are already there, great. But if you need more capability, you're building those capabilities. And it's important to be in this mode now, as I already said, because all these AI products still are being built, even for RocketLane. Now, for our new AI offerings, there's a lot more that we will need to build. For example, tool building is a great area where I would say a lot of startups are going to have these FDEs do the contribution to tools that LLMs can call as one of the areas that they will continue to contribute back to product. So I think this, business and product person who is also like a software developer going in and building more capabilities in the product. Of course, that also needs a tight feedback cycle with the rest of the team, right? Because you don't want everyone to build the same product capability in different companies. You need to have that tighter, organized way of everyone learning what is happening in each deployment. How this happens at scale, I wonder about. This is something which we have a FD meetup later this week in the Salesforce Tower on Thursday, 30th October. So that's something I will try to ask over there. But this is a problem, right? I have spoken to FD leaders before who have acknowledged that this is an area to solve. In like a product company, you can't have everyone just doing whatever they want.
So let's put a pin in the talent discussion and we'll come back, because it's clear that this, FTE needs to be cut from a different cloth than what you saw in, implementation teams or professional services teams. And, I was looking at different FTE job descriptions, and it seemed like they were trying to really figure out the perfect engineer with the best customer empathy and be able to influence outcomes and being a project manager and be remote and be talking to the core team. So it seems like almost the mythical perfect hire. So we'll come back to, what that talent and how do you build that DNA. Let's jump to sort of RocketLane and how you discovered this problem, because you go where your communities go, like you said at the beginning. How did you discover this FTE community? And I know you hosted a few meetups, and I remember, you sending me an invite where was the OpenAI FTE head who'd come through that meetup and so on. So how did you discover the community? What did you learn from some of the key members of this?
No, I think as you said, earlier this year when we started, we've had a lot of AI companies become our customers, the likes of Glean, Vercel, Intercom, Postman, PromptQL, etc., right? And one pattern we started to see is all of them also started talking about their FDE teams coming in and using RocketLane. And I, met someone from Ramp as well earlier this year, and they were talking about how they're building out their AI product. And it was clear that there is this pattern emerging where every company has become an AI company, right? Firstly. And then every AI company is using this approach to, take their product, get it deployed with the customer, get the customer to the ROI. Because last year was the year of promise without necessarily, all of it turning into real outcomes and ROI for customers. Everyone was, I think 2024 was purely the vision selling without the outcomes. This year, everyone started asking for outcomes, and one clear way that's, you know, starting to happen is by putting people on the problem with the customer to take them to that desired destination. So we saw that pattern early enough that, and of course, you know, OpenAI announcing a consulting team, etc., made us feel, hey, there is something, somewhat of a movement happening here, and let's learn more. So all our communities start from some level of curiosity of, okay, there is a lot to learn here, and there is a lot to learn from each other. Because we saw some companies were just calling their PS team and FDE team without empowering them to like contribute back to product or any of it. And each company has a different flavor. There are some companies that are doing agent builders, agent PMs, etc. There are some companies who are doing the FDE route. So we thought, okay, it's worth a conversation for all of us to learn from each other. And that's where the community started. We have a Slack community that we run called the Frontline Forum. And these communities, the most of the learning comes from meeting, right? Whether it's an online meeting or a in-person meeting. So we started organizing the
in-person. First, curious, and I know you always have your ear to the ground. Right now, what are the top two questions that this community is grappling with?
I think one question I've seen is the, how do you charge for your FDEs? Are people charging? Are they not charging? What's happening over there? And I feel, you know, for most people, it's still early and it's going to be hard to charge when it's early till it gets established. But in enterprise, typically it's okay, right? In large enterprise, you don't want to give anything for free. So that's one topic that I see. The second topic is really, I think, what is really the right approach here in terms of getting the contributions of FD back into product. Some people are still building capabilities in a silo that don't make it back into product. So I think while you're building on the edge, how do you ensure that productization happens is another area that I see people are grappling with, especially as they start having larger size FDE teams. When it's a small team, I think it's okay. But as these teams grow, I think how do things get managed? How is that, you know, connect with home base, establish the right way with the right cadence of meetings and so on, right? I think those are some questions I see popping up.
So I'm a, you know, AI startup founder, and it seems like I should definitely join your FDE community. But why should I look at Rocket Lane as sort of the platform that I use for developing my product? And because it's really going to become the sort of the operating system on which we build, right? If FD is core to this. So how does it help?
Right. I think, you know, when you're working with customers and you need to work back with your home base as well, you need a lot more, you need to over-communicate in a way, and you need to over-document as well. And I think that's where we are really helping ease the burden on these teams, where you're saying, hey, there is this software that's going to automatically capture what you're doing with the customer, all your customer meetings, etc. It's going to bring back the insight on what decisions were made, etc. Auto-document all of it. Auto-document what your plans are on what you want to do for that customer. Have all of that turned into a project plan as well that the customer can track, saying, okay, here is where we are. Here is how we're going to get to the outcomes we want. So it's also customer facing, and ease the burden on this FD who already has so much to do. They need to be an expert at the business, at, you know, building out the software, etc. Why add so much burden on communicating internally and with the customer as well on them? Why not provide software that helps them do a much easier job of keeping everyone aligned internally and externally, with the right amount of information shared with the customer, the right internal insights shared with your product, you know, rest of the product and engineering org, and tools to collaborate with all of them, right? You're away, you still need information to be sent on Slack to your team. You still need to, you know, push something into Jira for the product engineering team to track. And you need to send a weekly update to the customer all of that comes together in one software. And as you mature, as you go towards monetization, you also need to do the right revenue recognition for FDEs. You need to put in your effort calculations for the finance team. How do you also solve all of that in one place? So think of it as both front office and back office of the FDE team happening in one tool.
So it seems like there is collaboration and visibility built into the product, and that's just of with this FDE motion. The need for both of that is on steroids. So it just ends up being really good. You know, as an investor, I worry that all of these companies, you know, in the portfolio who are going with this FD motion, there's going to be lots of mistakes made. And I almost feel like as an investor, I'm trained to think about the risks. And I'm worried that, you know, with these FTEs, risk actually magnifies as opposed, because you have these young folks running around making decisions in all of these customer sites, and one blow up could then affect the entire company, right? Is there a way to also mitigate risk, and do you think about it, and are you building it in the product?
I think governance around things is always important, especially in the enterprise world, right? And that's where I feel. So, for example, Palantir actually had, I think, two flavors of the role, Echo and Delta. I don't remember which one is which, but one of them is a little more of a engagement management type function. And you need that engagement management muscle in your team. It can't just be, you know, young engineers, product engineers put on the role, figuring it out how to do things on their own. There needs to be some process, method to the madness around how you oversee what's happening, right? Which means leaders need to be more hands-on in each of these engagements. Leaders need to be plugged in and approving why a certain problem was picked, what's the size of the problem, what's the solution approach you're taking to it. And in a way, I think at the smaller scale, the leaders, you know, the product leaders almost, I would say, have like a product council internally that is reviewing the solutions before they get actually implemented and approving things, right? Like, okay, here's the approach. Let's go do it. And then it's getting built along with the customer, of course. So it's getting built at a certain speed and focus. And the communication around it is going. But when there is slippage, you know, there needs to be a plan saying, here is when I intend to finish things. And when there is slippage, leadership needs to know that someone is stuck. You don't want the FDs trying to be the heroes on their own saying, okay, whatever happens, I will figure this out. You need some form of early warnings and an escalation matrix almost when things go sideways. And those are things that we provide, right? Whether it's an approval process that can be codified in the system, an escalation matrix that can be codified in the system, all of this, as well as everything being documented to help reviewing, approving, etc. That's where I think we've sort of thought through and built out capabilities that help
these teams actually go to research.
I just want to point out to everyone listening that there are nuggets that you're sprinkling around the way. This product council seems extremely powerful. This engagement management, which is a sophisticated customer interface, seems very powerful. And there's a don't there, right? Which is just celebrating this hero FDE who just somehow makes a customer work. But actually, there is no compounding that they've introduced for the entire company is actually not a great thing, because you don't want the org to become this bespoke services company where, you know, Infosys used to have these star managers who have these huge accounts, right? That's not the direction you want your company to be getting pulled in. When you think about, I'm just going to switch gears and, you know, we're going to run out of time. When you think about India's role in this overall AI landscape, and at least our thesis is India can play a big role in the AI adoption playbook, in this chasm between POCs and production scale. India has always played a role in, hey, cloud, this great product, how do you actually get to production scale? There was a bunch of companies in India actually that scaled and figured out, or global GCCs that were created in India. Same thing with, you know, the next the Databricks type wave and mobile every way, right? India has been a big part of that AI adoption playbook or technology adoption playbook, and in this case, is that AI adoption playbook. Now, if FTE is a center to that adoption plus product build, seems like there should be a role for the India talent engine, right? Which is, can it actually be the FTE talent engine or the FTE engine room? Is there a possibility there, and what do you see?
See, I think you alluded to this earlier. This is almost like a unicorn type role, very hard to find. In fact, one pattern I'm seeing is a lot of founders now are ex-FDEs from different companies, ex-Palantir FDEs, etc. So it's not like a role where you're going to have lots and lots of people eligible. Capable of pulling it off in a way. At the same time, I think as this evolves and scales, maybe there is some form of breaking up of the role that happens. I think the advantage, the India advantage, is you can pair an FD, give them more superpowers. Of course, I think AI is going to give them some superpowers already, but you can give them even more superpowers by pairing them with teams in India who can help execute more. For example, let's say there is more big things that need to be developed, tested as part of what an FD figures out needs to be built for a customer. The cycle time can be shortened by having this sort of 24/7 team, right? Like you're in person at the customer, but you finish your day, you still hand off something to a team in India that continues working on a problem, comes back to you. And there is a lot of testing, evals to be built out, all sorts of things that need to happen for accurate and reliable AI. And so when you're building AI capabilities, I feel there can be more reliance on an extended team that is helping you through the research, through the trial and error, through the testing of what is the right solution, even as you finalize things for a customer. And I feel, yeah, that's a great opportunity for India.
So it's interesting that you say that. So we have another company, and I think you know the founder Chetan at Confido. It does voice agents for healthcare, and we're invested through our seed program. And he has this model of FTEs in the US and FTEs in India, and sort of them working collaboratively as a team, and that really gives them these superpowers, right? And so it's interesting, and you're already seeing that happen. For us, as we see this entire AI plus services landscape actually take off in India, and we have a bunch of companies who are trying to solve this production skill gap for AI, we do see them trying to A, hire, but also figure out what is the training plus tooling engine to actually help ramp up FTEs so that it could be FTEs on hire for some of these large AI companies, because it's both. Like you said, there is, yes, maybe FTEs are born, not made, but in India there's always this philosophy that they can be made. So maybe a 80% unicorn FT can be trained with the right tooling, which is definitely a thesis that we are sort of working with, and we're seeing some of that come to life on the ground today. Closing out this pod, when you think of maybe 4 or 5 years down the line, is FTE like this? We have sort of a It's a time-critical solution for 2 years, and it's relevant in this timing, or is this something that's going to last?
I don't think I'm going to make any predictions about what happens in the world beyond 2 years now. It's
Friendly bet.
too much change happening. But yeah, I would say it's definitely needed at this phase. I don't know how it'll pan out. I feel for enterprise, as more and more tech gets built for the enterprise, there is merit in doing it in this way. So I think it's sort of here to stay for enterprise product build for rather product build for the enterprise.
I do think that we are going into a different org construct of what AI companies look like, and the FTE is sort of a early indicator of the org just getting the traditional SaaS org, which was a little bit like siloed and product being handed off to towards the customer, and then product going back into an engineering product loop for the next version. I think that's just gone because it's just continuously shipping, continuously scaling production. And so you're just seeing that all those barriers between those teams are just getting broken. So I do think that maybe FTE won't have exactly this role, though I think it's actually the way you articulated it, that this is the new way of building product and this is the new way of having these distributed engineering teams. I think that's just going to continue. And so the traditional software SaaS org, I think is done, and you'll have these kind of roles come through, which are very cross-functional and just taking customer production, engineering, and just pulling them all together at any point in time. So I'll take that bet. I will wager whatever you want in a friendly wager on it. Sri, any last thoughts on founders going after this FTE? How do they build communities? What decisions they need to take? What would be your sort of final lasting advice to these founders going after FTE motion?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go back to something I shared earlier. I think, you know, if you don't empower the FDE, if it's just PS getting a new title, that may not work. At the same time, letting everyone go do whatever they want to without the right governance will also not work. So you need that right mix of oversight. I think, you know, we are forming that product council for ourselves now. And I feel such moves where you think through and say, okay, we need to be building the product. And I think you sometimes need to put some of your best existing product engineers on the job first to learn how it's going to work out, who already have context on how your organization builds product, what kind of decisions are usually made, etc., on it before putting, you know, hiring and putting new people on it. I feel people will make that mistake of just, you know, I'm hiring a young software engineer and I'm going to put them straight on the show.
Spirit of doing things that don't scale in the early going, should one of the founders become the first FTE?
I think the founder needs to be an FD engagement manager or FDE or one of those. There is merit in them being very plugged into the first few deployments, which I think anyway happens in like a pure play AI company. But I think in the companies where you already had something working, now you have new AI products, you're asking your team to go and deploy, I think the founder needs to go back into, you know, making that transition happen.
Awesome. I think we'll end on that note. Just been a fantastic conversation, just unpacking this entire FTE evolution for you. Entire FTE evolution for the ecosystem. I'm really looking forward to our next board meeting. It looks like you're heading towards a big increase in plan with this FTE motion.
Yeah, we should talk about it.
guys, thanks so much for tuning in, and thank you to Sri for this part.
Thank you.
If you like this episode of Zero to Infinity, there are so many more that you must check out. If you like Indian startup content, hearing about founder journeys, or knowing more about emerging sectors that we're investing in, Zero to Infinity is the channel that you need to subscribe to.